I had a bulletin in my office, and then he came and... Hey, good morning, and welcome this morning to Second Baptist Church, and glad that you are here, and grateful to worship with you. Want to say welcome if we have any guests that have joined us online. Thank you so much for tuning in and being part of today's service. We'd love to connect with you. I believe you can check the comments down below and click on the link to connect with us, and so grateful that you've chosen to worship with us today. I just want to make you aware of a couple things that are happening and coming up. First of all, we do have our quarterly regular business meeting tonight at 5 o'clock. We'll be right here. The anticipation is we may struggle to have a quorum tonight, so if at all possible, if you can make plans to be here, know that we have several that are out, vacation and different things, and so if you can be here, we sure would appreciate it. Coming up on the 28th, so we have two Wednesday nights left for our children and youth ministries until we take a break for the summer and let our volunteers recoup a little bit. But on the 28th will be the final gathering for that. Notice the mission trip opportunities. Those are coming up. There are sign-up sheets for both of those out in the foyer. So if you'd sign up for those and be really... be a great opportunity to be a part of those things. And then notice that we do have July 28th through the 31st. We are doing VBS Sports Camp this year. And so it is later than what it's been. Russellville School District doesn't get out until later this year. They're going into the first week of June. And so our VBS Sports Camp will be toward the end of summer rather than on the beginning or near the beginning of summer, okay? Thank you so much. Always pay attention to those things. We try to keep you as informed as we can with that information. This morning, just thought as we would get ready to pray for today's service and our time together, just reminded of this passage, really this verse in Acts chapter 4. And the scripture says this, it says, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. I realize we have several out this morning, and so certainly, just asking God to move among His people. God used small groups of people throughout the New Testament to do significant things for the kingdom of God, and so... maybe we just take time this morning and pray. Pray for one another. Pray for our service. I did get word a moment ago. If you pray for Teresa Holland and her father's in the hospital, really not doing well. And so pray for her. And I know there's many others that need our prayer this morning, our prayers this morning. So let's take a moment and just focus in on the Lord and ask God to meet with us and move on us this morning. God, you're gracious and kind. You're merciful. Lord, I thank you for all that you are and all that you do. God, I pray that above all else you would be exalted. Lord, you be glorified. God, you be magnified. And God, I just pray that you, Holy Spirit, would take this group, this church, and I pray your Spirit would move upon us and that, God, you would empower us to speak the Word of God with boldness. Lord, I pray, would you meet with us today in a way that only you can. Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, amen. Well, this morning we are going to sing about the cross and the work of Christ on the cross. So let me invite you to stand. So we lift our voices.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where from cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to the blood applied. wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within, there at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin. I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood of life. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was saved. So I'll change. Trophies at last I lay down. I'll cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to die. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange cross. I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me some. far away, where His glory forever I will share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling
See, on a hill of Calvary, my Savior bled for me. My Jesus set me free. And look at the wounds that give me life, grace flowing from His side. No greater sacrifice.
What He's done, what He's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven, my future is heaven. I praise God for what He's done. Sing for the freedom He has won. Even death is dead and done. His life has overcome. Speak, say the name above all names, over every broken place. He is risen from the grave. What He's done, what He's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven, my future is heaven. I praise God for what He's done. Now on a throne of majesty, the Father's will complete. He reigns in victory. Sing hallelujah to the King. He is worthy to receive all the worship we can bring. What He's done, what He's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven, my future is heaven. I praise God for what He's done. What He's done, what He's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven, my future is heaven. I praise God for what He's done. I praise God for what
what he's done.
Y'all can go ahead and be seated. Just want to read a quick verse before we sing our next song. It's from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So let's remember as we sing this next song and as we go throughout our days that it is not us. It is not anything that I can do, but it is Christ who is living in us and working and moving in us. So as we sing this song, let's remember that.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side my Savior he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released. I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home, and day by day I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Lord, may we remember that, both now in this moment and for the rest of our days, that it is not anything of our own doing. God, may we not boast at anything unless we boast in You. God, our salvation is through Christ, our hope and joy and strength and perseverance. They're all found in Christ and through Christ alone. So God, I'm thankful for Christ. I'm thankful for His work on the cross, His death that He did not deserve, but Lord, died on our behalf, in our place, that we may know You, that we may have a relationship with You. So Lord, continue to be in this place this morning as we hear from Your word. God, speak through Brother Chris as he comes. I thank You for this blessing of being able to worship together as a body of Christ, and pray that we can continue to worship even now. So thank You, Lord, for Jesus. It's in His name that I pray. Amen.
Well, amen. Well, I had the privilege to go to Judsonia, Arkansas on Friday night and preach for First Baptist Judsonia. They're having a revival meeting, and their pastor had called me and asked if I would come preach, and so I was grateful for the opportunity and wanted me to come and preach on having a heart for the lost and reaching the community, and I was excited about it. Called me a few months back, and I began praying, and really felt like I knew exactly what God wanted me to preach on, having a heart for souls, for John chapter 4. And man, I studied, and I was ready, I was prepared, and then Friday afternoon, before I left the house, I had about an hour or so, and so I get back to my notes, and I'm going through, and it just seemed like the Lord just started unsettling my heart. I wasn't as confident as I once was. And then next thing you know, I just began studying and reading the Bible and so on and so forth. Anyway, started preparing a second message, or preparing to preach a different message. And on the way I drove and I visited with some folks, but I prayed and God gave me clarity and walked into the church. And still, I had two messages and didn't know which one anyway. And so God heard our prayer. And just before I end up believing, really, God led me to preach from Luke chapter 16 on the rich man and Lazarus. And anyway, I had a lot of liberty to preach what I believe God told me to preach. And so I had a good week, was able to get studied and prepared, and looking forward to that, and then looking forward to this morning. I've got a message that I can preach. I'm studied and I'm ready. But I don't believe that's what God wants me to preach this morning. And so if you have your Bible, will you turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And this morning, I want to share with you some truth from these two verses. This is a familiar couple of verses to us. Most of us probably have heard these. You've heard them quoted. You may even have them memorized, and it's not an unfamiliar passage. Before we read the text in a moment, I want to try to help set the scene for us, as that I think, obviously, always context is king. Context is king. When we read and understand the Scripture, we need to understand the context in which it's given. I think that is especially true as we read and look at these verses this morning. And so let me just say this. My wife is probably sweating bullets up there because she's running the screens this morning, and of all mornings for me to switch the sermon and all that stuff, all the notes are in there for the other message. So there may not be any notes on the text, or there won't be any notes. There may not be any scripture or anything like that, all right? So all that is my fault, as it usually is, right? Especially in marriage, right? But Hebrews chapter 11, one, Hebrews is probably my favorite book in the Bible, and it's for this reason, is because if you study and read Hebrews, Hebrews teaches us that Jesus is supreme. He's supreme over all. You read the first chapter and you read about the angels and that Jesus is supreme over the angels. Then you spend several chapters and Jesus is supreme of the Old Testament. And then you read more and Jesus is supreme over the law, and he's supreme over the sacrificial system. And we get to Hebrews chapter 11 and Jesus is supreme over the Old Testament saints. Man, I love Hebrews because it's just a reminder that he is supreme. He is King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords, and he is the only one that is to be worshipped. Well, then we read, if you were to go back and read Hebrews chapter 11, we have some titles for it because it's so familiar. We call it the Roll Call of Faith, the Hall of Faith, the Hall of Fame of the Saints of the Faith. And man, it's just incredibly powerful because it is testimony after testimony of how people believed and trusted God, and God worked mightily in their lives. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, you go through and there's these statements. It says, by faith, so-and-so. For instance, in verse 4, by faith, Abel. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch. Verse 7, by faith, Noah. And you can see, man, these are the Hall of Fame believers in the Old Testament. And it just walks through by faith, by faith, by faith. And it's building an incredible testimony report on what God has done through individuals, leading up to what I believe and other scholars believe, as you get towards the end of verses 30 on down to verse 40, that it possibly even references some of the disciples and how they were faithful to follow the Lord Jesus even under their death. And so it's a really strong, powerful testimony of those believers who are in the faith and how they trusted the Lord, followed the plan of God, and God worked in their life. So we call it the Hall of Faith, the Roll Call of Faith. And this is really important that we understand that Hebrews 11 celebrates these that were before us and their powerful work, the powerful work rather that God did through them. Okay? And so if you find your place and you're willing, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 12? We're going to simply read verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your word. God, thank you for the truth of it. God, I pray this morning you would hide me behind your cross, fill me with your Spirit. Lead, guide, direct me. Help me to preach exactly what you'd have me to preach. Nothing more, nothing less. Save the lost. God, I pray you'd set free the captive this morning. And God, you work and you move in a way that only you can. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, with that, let's walk through the text together then this morning. We've already set the stage of the context. We just came off chapter 11 celebrating these saints, these godly saints that God had used in an incredible way. So notice verse 1 here in chapter 12. And what I want you to see the witness that we have before us. Therefore, we also, since we are, look at this, notice this, mark underline this word, surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. First of all, many of you have heard this before. I've said it before, particularly in the King James or New King James, when you see wherefore, the word wherefore or therefore, the corny language is you have to ask, what's it there for? And the idea is that word connects you back to what had previously been said. So he says in chapter 11, by faith, God used and worked and moved in these men and women's lives in an incredibly powerful way. And if God did that and they've gone on and graduated to heaven, therefore, because of that, notice what he says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, I know there's some controversy and there's some opinions about what is meant here. I'm going to share with you what I believe with all my heart, and it's primarily because of this text that I believe this. So I want you to get this idea. In the day and time in which this book was written, I want you to picture a Colosseum. And inside that Colosseum, there's Olympic Games. There's athletic competition going on. There are things that are going on, and the center of that is on the field of play, if you will, in the middle on ground level. There's a Colosseum wrapped around, much like what we see our stadiums today. And in those stadiums, there are fans, and what are they doing? They are cheering on the competition that is taking place, the event that is taking place. They're watching it, they're cheering them on, right? And even, it's not hard for us to imagine because, again, we have baseball and football and basketball, all sorts of arenas and stadiums that we see this, we can relate to this, okay? But so I want you to hear this language again. Therefore, since we are also surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, I believe what the Bible is teaching us here is that those saints of Hebrews chapter 11 had gone on and graduated to glory, and they are there around the throne of God, worshiping God, all that sort of stuff. But at the same time, they are able to peek over the clouds of eternity and see you and I running the race of faith, living the life that God has laid out before us, and they are there as if they are cheering us on. I believe that not only to be true about the saints of Hebrews chapter 11, but I believe that to be true about saints for all time. And I understand there's a lot of opinions and thoughts about that, and that's fine, okay? It's not going to make or break us. But if you don't hold to that, you got to wrestle in some way with what he says here in Hebrews 12, 1, 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Dear friends, what I need you to see or understand, what I believe the Bible is telling us this morning, is that there's some saints that we would put in the halls of the heroes of the faith, of Noah and Moses and Enoch and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, some of these that are men of the great God that God used in significant ways, that did some incredible miracles in their life, that they're on in heaven, they are in eternity, peeking over the clouds of eternity, and they are watching me and you run the race of faith. And man, that ought to stir us on. That ought to encourage us. Do you remember as a child? Listen, growing up as a child, I was involved in a lot of athletics, a lot of sports, and basketball and baseball and whatever I could get involved with. And my parents hated basketball. Even though I started and played a whole lot, you could probably count on one hand the number of times that my family saw me play basketball. However, my stepdad enjoyed baseball. And so when I played baseball, there's no doubt that I knew where my dad, my stepdad was sitting, where my mom and stepdad were sitting. Why? Because, man, when you're out there on the field and you're playing, you're engaged in the game, you're giving it all you have, but every now and then it's nice to see somebody sitting over there cheering you on, calling your name out, encouraging you, doing something. And I need you to know this morning, listen, I know the road is weary. I know the life gets tough and it's hard and sometimes it's not fair and it's difficult. I need you to know, church, this morning that there are saints in heaven cheering you on, encouraging you, saying, oh, dear friend, don't give up. Man, don't quit. Press on. It's worth it. It's worth it in the end. Keep pressing. Keep growing. Keep fighting. Keep living the life that God has called you to do. Why? Because there's a great cloud of witnesses this morning that's peeking over the clouds of eternity saying, keep on. And keep on. And keep on. I don't know if you're struggling this morning to keep on. But I want you to know there's some saints in heaven. There's some saints in heaven that are encouraging you, watching you, saying, hey, won't you keep on? Keep fighting. Keep living for the glory of God. So first, I want you to see a witness. Secondly, I want you to see the weight. He says, therefore, since we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, look at this, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Hey, listen, if living out the godly principles of life, if fulfilling God's plan and God's purpose for your life, the idea is the life that we are living, he is describing that, that is the race. That's the race. That the race is that we're trying to live and fulfill and walk in the plans and purposes of God. And so that's the race that's happening. That's the race that's being cheered on. But what I need you to see and understand is that the writer here is highlighting two things that can take place in an individual's life that actually hinders you from running the race that God has called you to. Because, I mean, as you know, sometimes we don't always get it right when we're running the race. Sometimes we get out of our lane. Sometimes we don't run according to the rules and we disqualify ourselves from certain things and fulfilling God's plans for our life. And we can mess this thing up. And what I need you to see is there's some weight that we've got to get rid of. And so notice what he says. He says, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us. I think these are talking about two different things. I don't think they're talking about one and the same. I'm going to use the word weight to reference both of them because both of us hold us back. But in the scripture, he uses weight and he uses sin, and I don't believe he's referencing the same thing. And so what is it that he's referencing with weight? Weight are the things that hold you back. They're not necessarily inherently sinful. They're not necessarily ungodly, but they are just some things in your life that are holding you back from fulfilling God's plan and God's purpose. Hey, listen, it's not that they're inherently bad, right? I don't know if many of you maybe remember this, but anybody remember when the ankle weights came out and you'd tie them around your ankle and you would run or jog or do different things and it just, just had that extra weight? Anybody remember those? Anybody ever use them? Your knees still mad at you about it, right? It's a terrible plan, but nonetheless, you know, you put that on. Or now today you see a lot of workouts with weighted vest, right? The idea is that you work out with that, you do things with that, so that when you take it off, you're able to run and do or be in more better physical condition. The weight is not bad. It's not that the vest is terrible, but nobody in their right mind going to a race that they would want to win, they train with the vest, they do all this, then they just leave it on for the race. No, they take it off, they get rid of it. And what the symbolism is this, is that it can be good things in your life that God is, or that you're allowing to hold you back. Or maybe you're holding on to some things for a season longer than what they need to be. Well, what do you mean? Obviously, you know, And I enjoy the outdoors. I enjoy hunting. But God hasn't called me to be a professional hunter. God hasn't called me to go and make my career that way or whatever the case is. I enjoy it. It fuels me. It fills me up. It's a great thing for me in my life for a season. But if there aren't times where I put that off and lay it aside, and honestly, more often than regular, then what does it do? It holds me back from running the race that God has put in my life. We touched on this a week ago. Man, I love my kids. But for Daydrian and I, they don't set the rules. They don't set the bars. They don't set the agenda. And so there are good things in our lives that if we get them in the wrong place, they hinder us and hold us back. Brother Ronnie used to say it this way. Anytime that a good thing gets in the place of a best thing, it becomes a bad thing. So what he tells us is, he says, we have a great cloud watching us, but we need to lay aside some weight. And I would just ask you this morning, what is there that could easily be defined as good in your life, but it's holding you back? Maybe it's social media. Maybe it's technology. All sorts of things. Man, there's so many blanks to fill in there. So many possibilities. The word bank is endless of what it might be. I would just invite you to ask yourself this morning, ask the Spirit of God, even in this moment, eyes open. I know God can hear our prayers with our eyes open and head up, right? I know it's hard to believe. But even in just this moment, ask God, God, is there some weight in my life that I need to let go? So he says, lay aside every weight that so easily ensnares us, trips us up, causes us, hinders us from being running the race of faith. Then he goes on and he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. The difference is the weight is something that is good and it may come in and out of your life, but we don't have it in the wrong place or the wrong position of priority. Rather, sin is the things that we know we ought not be entangled with. We ought not be involved with. We shouldn't be doing. And listen, I know this is Sunday morning finest, and there's nobody in here that has sin or struggled with sin. Amen? Well, I just seen if you're awake, all right? All of us in here, man, we still, I don't know about y'all, but we still struggle with that flesh suit, right? It just wells up in us every now and then. We all have sin. We all have things. Man, if you've surrendered your life to Jesus, thank you that we've experienced the forgiveness that there is in Jesus. But none of us will be perfect till we get to heaven. But listen to me, friend. That's not an excuse to stop pursuing holiness. And the call in this life is to follow the will and plan of God and chase after holiness. The little bit of sin in your life is not content with just being a little bit of sin. Man, it's always hungry for more. It's always starving for more. It's been illustrated this way that you got to imagine in your spiritual life there are two dogs. If you have two dogs, you have two dogs at home, and you take and you feed one dog and you don't feed the other. You feed and water one, you don't feed the other. Man, the other one's going to get weak. It's going to lose strength. It's not going to be in good condition. But the one you feed and water and take care of, man, he's going to be strong, going to be healthy. Spiritually in life, there's two dogs in your life. One is fleshly, one is carnal, and one is spiritual. And the dog that you feed, the part of your life that you feed is the one that's going to have the strength, the one that's going to have the vitality, the one that's going to consume your life, the one that you don't, it's going to shrink back. And sometimes we're not seeing some things in our lives. We're not able to hear from the Lord the way we want to because we're feeding the carnal and not the spiritual. And so he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Dear friend, we've got to eradicate sin in our life. I don't care if it's pride or pornography. I don't care if it's gossip or homosexual. Man, whatever it is, we've got to fight. We've got to battle and not be content with just a little bit of sin in our lives. Because it so easily ensnares us. You can't run the race that God has called you to if you've got the weighted vest on. And you certainly can't run the race if you've got shackles around your feet. And I would just ask you this morning, would you pray even in this moment, God, what sin is in my life that so easily ensnares me? We've got a witness. There's a weight. And then I want you to look. We need to watch. We need to watch. Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. I don't know if you've ever lifted weights or worked out, or maybe even more fitting. I don't know if anybody's ever driven a tractor cutting hay or cutting a field or maybe planting. Now there's a lot of farmers, a lot of folks are spoiled, right? Because they have these GPS units on these tractors, and man, they just have all the topography of their field, and man, just put it in, sit back and eat a sandwich and make sure everything's good, right? But there was a day and time. I remember the first time my buddy's friend let me drive the tractor to cut hay. He let us load hay plenty of time, but there was one time he put me on the tractor and let me cut. And anyway, man, there was I got a little short on a corner, and I left a strip about that wide and maybe about 6 foot long on the corner standing. And when I got back around, he was standing there saying, hey, you cut the corner too short right there. Don't do that again. Well, a few rounds later, I did again, and when I got back to him, he said, hey, I need you to get off the tractor, and got off the tractor, and it was the last time he let me on it. But there was day and time when planting rows of trying to have those long rows and long straight rows so everything be harvested and taken care of. Well, you put a rookie on there, and what often do, they do one of two things. Either they look right in front of them at a really close point, and they're trying to drive straight and just catch that, just watch right in front of them, think they're driving straight. Or they turn around and look because they think, I can tell where I've been, and I can drive and make a straight line. But the veteran picks a tree or a fence post that's off in the distance and fixes their eye on that and line the nose up or a wheel up or something on that, and they are going to drive straight to it, never taking their eyes off of that, because it allows them to run in a straight line and they're not distracted by what's immediately around them. What happens sometimes, friends, is that as we're running the race of the faith and we're living in life, that we don't fix our eyes on what is eternal. We don't fix our eyes on Jesus, but we get distracted by those that are maybe just right here in front of us. We get distracted by some things that are off in the ditch, or even worse yet, we get distracted by looking at yesteryear, thinking about what God used to do or what God did, and it's good to remember those things. But I'm telling you, dear friend, the same God that worked in times past is the God that wants to work in the days ahead. And we get so fixated and so disappointed and so crushed on what used to be or what could have been or what might have been. And I'm telling you, friend, God wants to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask, imagine, or hope for. And God can use you and work in your life in the days ahead, even as great as He did in times past. Looking unto Jesus. He hasn't ceased to be God. He hasn't lost His power or authority. This morning, I wonder if there's a season in your life, or maybe even right now, where it's hard to admit, but you've taken your eyes off Jesus. Look at your circumstances. You get overwhelmed by those things. Right, that's what happened to David's brothers, the big Philistine giant up on the mountain, making fun of them, blaspheming God. And what happened to the brothers is they looked at the giant and they looked at themselves and says, this is no match. What did David do? David looked at the giant and he looked unto God and said, this is no match. Dear friend, I don't know what you're facing and I don't know what you're going through, but I am telling you this. It would serve us well this morning to fix our eyes back on Jesus. He may be the affection of our heart. He may be the focus of our lives. So we need to watch. Next thing I want you to see is that there needs to be a willingness. So there's a witness, there's a wait, there's a watching, and then there's a willingness. Notice what it says about Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Have you ever given much thought about that? About what he says, that for the joy that was set before him. We sang about the cross this morning, man, some just beautiful music and man, incredible lyrics. And what we tend to do in some ways is we pretty up the cross. You know, it's nice jewelry, it's a nice lapel pin, it's nice earrings. All sorts of ways we sort of pretty it up, and there's nothing wrong with those things. But I think we often forget how the cross was such a picture of punishment and sacrifice. And that Jesus was beat. Crucifixion was a terrible death. And it says here, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. How in the world did Jesus go through that with joy? Number one, I think ultimately his will was set to be submissive to the will of God the Father. I think that's a word for us, that there's joy in being obedient to the Father. But then secondly, he did it with joy because he had his eyes fixed on you. Romans 5:8 would say that God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That on your worst day, your worst moment, the time that you'd be most ashamed, the thing that brings about the most conviction in your heart and in your life, Jesus over 2,000 years ago died on the cross looking at you and said, I love you anyway. And because he was submitted to the will of God, and that he had his eyes fixed on you, the Bible reports to us that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Because he knew that one day you and I might repent of our sins and place our faith and trust in him. He knew that you and I, those of us that have repented and placed our faith and trust in Christ, would get to join the cloud of witnesses to celebrate and to cheer on those running the race of faith. And so, dear friend, let's not run the race out of a sense of burden, but let's run it willingly. Because if Jesus could go to the cross and die for you and for me as an innocent man, as the innocent Son of God, and love us so much that he drew us to himself, he brought about and led us to faith and salvation in himself, then surely you and I can continue to put one foot in front of the other, fix our eyes on him, and run willingly. The cost is not too high. The Bible says, let him deny himself and take up his cross. And so there's a witness, there's a wait, there's a watching, there's a willingness, and then finally I want you to see the winner. The winner, look at this. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Because we live in a country that doesn't have kings, it's a little bit hard for us to fully grasp this. But it's not too difficult because we understand there's a throne in heaven and God occupies that throne. God the Father is supreme. He is seated there. But then this gives us an image that there's a throne to His right. And that God the Son, Jesus, now sits on that throne. The position to the right of the king, the man right of the king, is a position of authority. It's a position. He works on behalf of the king, but he's a position of authority. When he speaks, it's as if the king speaks. Matthew 28, the Great Commission, gives us, go make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I taught you. And he says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. But he says in that passage, all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. Why? Jesus says that because he knew he was going to sit down at the right hand of the king. But then I love this image of him going and sitting down. See, I'd remembered that my stepdad, he and my mom both, by the time they were in their mid-30s, they were fully disabled. Mom had a quadruple bypass, and my stepdad broke his back, and then he had a massive heart attack at the age of 35, and he was unable to work for most of his life. But there were times and seasons where we were in a tough spot, and he got up and found some work. And whenever he would get home, a couple things would happen pretty quickly. But one of those being, he would come in, and does anybody dad have a glass? Like, he had a glass. That was his glass. You don't drink out of his glass. You don't touch his glass. And it was just a plastic gray cup, all right? But it was a prized possession in the house. Anybody have one of those? Yeah, amen. You didn't drink his cup and you didn't sit in his chair. And if you were, it did it, smart enough to stay out of the cup, but every now and then he would catch me in his chair. Now, you did not want him to get to his chair before you got out of the chair. Because he was swinging and where he landed was your fault. But he would walk in, go to the kitchen, fill his cup up with ice. All he ever pretty much drank was ice water. And so then he would take and go over to the sink and fill his cup up with ice. And then what'd he do? He would go and he would sit down because work was finished for the day. It was complete. There was nothing else to be done. Dear friend, when Jesus went to the cross and he offered himself upon the cross, and he said, Tetelestai, paid in full. And he said, into thy hands, Father, I commit my spirit. And he breathed his last. The veil of the temple tore from the top to the bottom, signifying the acceptance of the sacrifice. They buried him in a borrowed tomb, and early Sunday morning he rose from the dead. He spent time with the disciples. He spent time with those that had been around him for some 40 days. And then at the appropriate time in Acts chapter 1, we read how the Lord Jesus ascends into heaven. I've often wondered what the welcome party was like when Jesus ascended into heaven. I have no doubt there were angels and seraphim that were there and maybe bowed. There were some that were singing, holy, holy, holy. I have no doubt there were saints as if they were in an arena cheering on the Lamb of God who had taken away the sins of the world. And then he approaches a throne with God the Father, fully pleased in His Son. And Jesus takes a seat, because after all, it is finished. The work is complete. The job is done. He's the winner. He's the victor. And so, dear friend, I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what you're going through. But I'll tell you right now, I needed this message as much as anybody in the room, because the race is worth it. The fight is worth it. Keep pressing on. There's a crowd cheering you on. There's some sweet saints that used to sit in some of these pews and share these pews with us that have graduated on to heaven, that I have no doubt that every now and then they're peeking over the clouds of heaven saying, hey, keep on. Keep pressing, Second Baptist. Keep on. The fight is worth it. The Spirit of God saying to us this morning, man, what weight or what sin is holding you back? There's a whisper in our heart this morning saying, hey, fix your eyes on Jesus. Keep chasing after Him. Don't be distracted by the here and now. Don't be distracted by yesteryear. But fix your eyes on eternity and run after Him. There's a reminder this morning that we need to be willing, no matter the cross, no matter the cost, to continue to carry the cross and serve Him faithfully. And then we need to remember, we serve a God who has already secured the victory. There's no question about who wins in the end, right? You've read the end of the book and it's clear. Jesus is the victor, and because He's the victor, you and I get to enjoy the spoils of war. You and I get to enjoy the spoils of His victory. Dear friend, if you don't know Jesus, won't you give your heart and life to Jesus, to Him today? Surrender all that you are to Him. And for most of us, I have a sneaking feeling, maybe you're like me, and here in just a moment, I'm going to bow my knees and get on the altar and do some business with God, because He stirred my heart this morning. There's some things, maybe some weight we need to lay down, some sin that maybe needs to confess. Maybe we've gotten our eyes off Jesus. Maybe this faith, this serving the Lord has become a burden rather than a blessing. And you may be like me. Maybe you need to come get on this altar and ask God to help us. Ask God to be with us. Give us strength and follow Him faithfully. So I'm going to ask if you would, if you'll bow your head and close your eyes just for a moment as we have a time of invitation, a time to respond to what God has for us. Friend, if you don't know Jesus, here in a moment, I'm going to pray and we're going to begin to sing. And as soon as I finish praying, I'm going to stand down front for just a moment. Say, Pastor Chris, I need to be saved today. I've been dealing with conviction. There's just something going on in my heart. I need to know that I know. I got to talk to somebody. I need to give my life to Him today. Then, friend, don't wait. In just a moment, come. Say, Pastor Chris, I need this. And we'll find somebody to meet with you and talk with you and help you get that decision settled. And there may be some of us in the room struggling in some ways that we just need to get on our knees and confess. Ask God to be with us. Say, Pastor, I can't get down and kneel anymore. Well, maybe you just want to come sit on one of these pews near the front. Maybe you just want to come and stand. I get it. God can meet you right where you're at. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But I know this. I know oftentimes God meets me at the altar. And so you just do business however God leads you. When I pray, you begin to move. God in heaven, I pray in this moment that God, you'd help us to be obedient to you. Help us to respond, not out of burden, but out of desire to want to hear and meet with you. God, I pray that you would be exalted. I pray, God, you would set us free this morning. Lord, I ask that if there's anybody here who doesn't know you, God, you give them boldness to stand up right where they're at and come forward in the next few moments. God, I just ask you to work among your people today. I pray this in Jesus' name. If God stirred your heart this morning and you want to come, you come on.
Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin.
Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrow and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He one?
Just a moment, we're going to pray and ask the Lord to be with our offering and opportunity to give as we leave today. Before that, I want to share with you just something quickly. I am getting ready to take a few weeks off. I normally don't announce when I'm going to be gone. Because, you know, when the pastor's not here, that's a free excuse not to come to church for some folks. So I tend to let a few folks know, et cetera. Don't generally make it wide publicly known. But What's going to happen is I'm going to be gone the next two Sundays for vacation, and then the third Sunday I will actually be gone the next three, because Deidre and I will be gone to the Southern Baptist Convention, okay? So I make you aware of this because I'm just going on vacation. I'm just taking some time off, okay? I know how things happen sometimes. Not that I accuse anybody of gossiping or creating anything or asking.